Hey, everybody, welcome. And I have got somebody really special here in the studio with me. It's my son, Adam. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, and it's so good to have you here in Campbell River again for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just out visiting.
And heading down to the PAOC conference in Victoria.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought we'd spend a little bit of time in front of the mic and share together.
For sure.
Adam, my son Adam Somerville here, and you're in Vernon now, pastoring the Landing Church.
Yeah, I've been a lead pastor there for just over 6 months.
And that's fantastic. So people here, other than remembering you as my little boy, mm-hmm. you know, growing up around me and all that, might remember when you took on being youth pastor up at Christian Life Fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, others would remember you from being at the Christian school as a fellow student. But,
yeah.
And then later, I always thought it was cool that happened because, for me as dad, God got a hold of you. and you kind of picked up on the family call and felt the moving of the Spirit and the desire of God. And I don't know how much influence. I guess it was because you were around what God was doing quite a bit. And I remember when we went to India. And how old were you when we went over to India?
Oh, I was maybe like 14, 15, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. And we were doing an outdoor village meeting. And I said, you know, I mean, I'm always ready to preach, but I said to you guys, you and Evan and Dad, and I don't know who else was with us, who wants to preach? And you did.
Yeah.
You know, you got up there behind the, I don't know if you had to stand on a box or something then, but you got up there and preached the gospel to the folks in the village, several hundred of them there, and people giving their life to Christ, and it was cool. And you just had it, you know, like God saying, Adam, come and serve me with your life.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And that's what you're doing. Yeah, praise God.
Yeah.
So now you're a pastor at the Landing Church. So you went into PAOC, Pentecostal Assembly of Canada, after
yes.
you'd been youth pastor for a few years under Mark Moody,
yeah.
pastoring at Christian Life Fellowship.
Yeah.
And take it from there. You got married to Tara, your beautiful wife, and met her when you were going to college down in Abbotsford.
Yeah, well, you know, I can, you know, I think just to share sort of a bit about calling ministry and things like that, like I contributed a lot to, you know, sort of my bent a little bit in terms of wanting to see revival and the move of the Holy Spirit, people healed and set free and delivered, to definitely the way you and Mom raised me. Because, like, you know, I remember going from sort of what we did back at River of Life in the Foursquare Church in the 90s, in the early 2000s there, to going to maybe some other churches and things, and just noticing a real difference in terms of what God was doing, and how, you know, I found that a lot of church, I'd go to church, and you get there on Sunday, and it felt like you're chewing stale cardboard.
Oh gosh,
you know, that's a lot of how I attribute it. You know,
yeah.
And I know everybody's doing their best and they're trying things, but there's something different when you allow the move of the Holy Spirit to happen. And I think part of that, you know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 13 at Camp Bob there, down at Roberts Lake, and that for me was the turning point in life, was experiencing that. And it's, you know, became you know, kind of the slogan and phrase I use now at church is this is real. And that's really what it came down to, is that, you know, I began to realize that, like, hey, this is real. This is God. He's not, like, we're not, often you go to church and you feel like you're just talking about him. That he's distant, that he's in the heavens and we're on earth, and he's separate, and there's a chasm between us. But the message of the cross is that the chasm has been destroyed. There's no chasm anymore. He's here. He's real. He's present. He's in your life. And if you want that, you can have it. You can have all of it. And that's the thing. Like, it's you know, I was saying even last night, like, it's like, it's something that you can this is real. You can reach out. You can take a hold of it. You can grab it. And for us at the Landing Church in Vernon, you know, we're going after revival and the move of God and all sorts of categories of what that means. But, you know, I want the culture there to be We found truth. We found life. We found what's real. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit. And it's not a conversation about what he did 2,000 years ago. That's part of it. And it's not about, hey, how one day we'll just go to heaven. Yes, that is an aspect. But it's he's real alive right now. He wants to change your life here and do something supernatural in you.
Yeah, and he rose from the dead, and yeah. He's alive now, and he's here.
Yeah.
And you can know him.
And that's the, yeah. You know, the kingdom of God. Like in the new year, I'll take my church through a series on the kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus shows up on the scene starting his ministry after he's baptized. But what he does is he goes, he's filled with the Spirit of God when the Spirit descends on him like a dove. And he has his affirmation and declaration by the Father of the ministry, which is, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But then Jesus leaves that moment. He leaves and then gets tempted in the wilderness and heads out. And what he does to start his ministry, he preaches repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand, calls his disciples, but then you see that he goes to the lost, the hurting, the broken people who are sick and tormented, and he starts setting them all free. And he's just right. Showing that in the kingdom of God, there's healing, there's freedom, there's life, and this is real. And then he goes into the Sermon on the Mount, and this is what the upside-down culture of the kingdom looks like. But that's, I think, the place for me and what I do up at the Landing Church is in Vernon is we're creating a culture that it would exemplify that kingdom life, that it's not just, hey, be good to your neighbor. It's, hey, you know, lay your hands on the sick and watch them recover. Hey, you know, pray for your neighbor, share the gospel with your neighbor, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're given his power to do his work.
Yeah, and you've really pressed into the whole healing ministry a lot more than I have. I mean, people might know me from healing ministry, but you've really run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if people listening, you don't know, Adam has a YouTube channel with some great teaching and ministry on it. Now you call it Adam Daniel. Right?
Actually, it's called The Prayer Project.
Oh, now The Prayer Project. You changed the name. Now Prayer Project. And that's cool. But what you found doing, and you've already put a lot of time and effort into doing the YouTube channel, but you were telling me the other night that mainly what people are wanting is prayer.
Yeah.
You know, they can get all the teaching and build their faith on receiving from God, which is important. But far and away, you're seeing by your statistics and stuff, it's the prayer ones that people are hungry for.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube's the whole gambit in and of itself and how that works and how it pushes content to people. But the audience that's been coming to my channel is people who've experienced quite a bit of like sickness and disease or hurt and brokenness in their life. My assumption is that, which is kind of sad, is that maybe in the general body of Christ in cities and things like that, that there's not being offered a God answer to that. So whether that's healing or freedom. And so they're going to YouTube to find that. And and through the videos, tons of people are getting healed. Tons of people are having their life encouraged and blessed. And, you know, I see people commenting on how, like, hey, I had like pain in here and I got prayer and now it's all gone, or I had, you know, swelling in this area and it all came down and all those things. Yeah. And so,
well, you think about it, if Paul the Apostle, you know, could anoint handkerchiefs and they would take them to people who were sick and they were being healed, then why not, you know, receiving prayer by listening to it on YouTube? You know, if it's anointed by the Holy Spirit, we could expect God to be doing things, or on the radio for that matter, you know, like, or whatever. You know, it's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, and like, I think believers sometimes we forget that we have what the Bible calls power and authority.
Yeah.
And that we have authority. We have the right to walk into dark, terrible situations. It's the God-given right of the believer to walk in those situations and speak in the name of Jesus and watch situations change.
Yeah.
And we're given the power of the Spirit, that dunamis power in Luke and Acts that's talked about, to empower the believer to do those things, to kick out the enemy and his works in people's lives. And so
Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe people don't understand listening. The difference, like power and authority means you have the right you know, to do something, and, yeah. and the legal right and all of that. So Jesus gave believers the legal right to set captives free, to heal the sick, to cast the devils out that afflict and torment people. And then the power is the necessary oomph, the dynamite, dynamite, to carry it out. Because what good's authority if you can't carry it out?
Yeah.
But a lot of time, Adam, and you know, we might step out and try to do that and don't get anywhere. What do you say about that stuff?
Yeah, like you got to understand, you know, if somebody is like, it's a life that's built. Faith is built, and it's built through action. And so, you know, like the first time, let's just use an example of like the preaching the gospel or sharing Jesus with somebody that way, you might not do it very well, or you might not be as in tune as you could be. You might just be kind of cookie cutter sharing. But as you do that, you'll develop, you'll get better at it. You'll be able to read situations. The Holy Spirit will be able to lead you better and guide you better. You'll be able to hear Him because you're developing a sense of spiritual skill, a spiritual talent. And that's sort of like when we go out to pray for people and minister to sick, is that I've found in my life that the more I do it, the more results I see. And it's not necessarily that it's just, hey, you're laying your hand on more people, but the percentage of people getting healed and free, the more I begin to pray, the higher the percentage goes.
Well, Paul said to build yourself up on your holy faith.
Yeah.
There's a building and an equipping that takes place. But not only that, we grow more confident with faith as we see things too.
Exactly. And so, like, you know, we'll get out, like with our church, one of the new things I've started doing is I start taking people out into the streets of Vernon, and we just go out and pray for people.
Yeah.
And the people, what the comments are, is that they're more confident as time goes on. They're more at peace. They're more open to the Holy Spirit, and they're seeing more things. And so, you know, someone who says, well, hey, I prayed for one person one time. And often the story goes, my family member, or someone I really loved, contracted some kind of disease. So whether that's cancer or something went on in their life. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. And so therefore it doesn't work. But the Bible doesn't necessarily teach us to just, like, you know, try and do this for a particular situation that really affects my life. This is a ministry of the kingdom of God to people who are lost, hurting, and broken. And so I always say to people, like, crisis is probably the hardest time to try and build something in your life. It's like so much is going on. Your head's in so many different places. Yeah. You're stressed. There's all these things. Like, no, what we need to do is start building a lifestyle of healing. You know, I went to a conference recently by John G. Lake Ministries Canada, and I'm good friends with the leader of that down in Penticton. And, you know, I was sitting in the room with people who had, you know, raised their kids from the dead and things. And one guy had done that, and he's out in Saskatchewan. He's kind of he has a bit of a street church. He's an evangelist and all these things. But they go out in the street, and they're seeing people healed all the time. And both his kids, I don't know exactly what happened, but they're contracted something or something, some kind of autoimmune, something was going on. But they're on the verge of death. And he's sitting there, and he's in the hospital room, and he's losing his mind. He's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm, you know, and he's just on the brink of, like, collapsing type thing from emotion. And one lady that had worked with him quite a bit out in the streets comes in and kind of slaps him upside the head. And she goes, you know, what are you doing? Why are you being like this? Your kids are about to die. It's just sickness. You see people healed all the time. Go heal them and stuff. Yeah, and he kind of, oh, you're right. And so he goes and he lays his hands on his kids, and they're like right at that brink of death, and says, and, you know, commands in the name of Jesus, you'll live and not die, and speaks life and prays. And then after he finishes, he feels the Holy Spirit say, you got to leave that. You got to just believe and now go pray for the other kids in the ward.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he leaves his kids, goes, prays for his other kids in the ward, these other kids in the ward. The next day, his the nurses are coming in, and it's a nurse and some class of nurses, because they're going to look at his son, because this is like, they wanted to show, this is what it looks like for a person with this particular issue to be on the verge of death. And that's what they were going to go. And they come into the room, and the son is up. The son is yanking tubes out of his nose and things like that, and saying, I want to go home now. I'm good. And stuff like that. And the nurse's response is, oh, well, this just must be one of those miracle things, and turns around and walks out with the tubes.
Gosh.
And both his kids were, both of them had issues. We were on the brink of death, and both of them were sitting with us in the conference years later, seeing them. So, you know, this stuff is real. But for him, you know, he built a lifestyle of seeing people healed and set free. And it wasn't just a, you know, one-time thing. It was a, this is a mission of the kingdom of God on my life to go out into the world and, you know, and bring the kingdom of God and the life of God to people see them healed. And I think that's why, you know, for him, he prayed for his kids and they came back. He had built history. He had built faith. He had built understanding and went so that when he could show up in the room and, you know, and get on his kids like that and see them healed.
Yeah. Now, why don't you just pray with folks? Because we're going to come back to a part two for tomorrow. But right, just pray with the folks that are listening right now about building their faith up, believing that.
Yeah, well, let's even just do this. Like, if you're a listener, like, Jesus can heal you right now. And he can set you free. So if you've got pain in your body, a particular spot, all I want you to do is just stick your hand on that spot. And we're just going to say this. In the name of Jesus, speak to sickness, disease, pain that's affecting people. You go right now in Jesus' name. Be healed from head to toe by the authority and power of the name of Jesus to set you free. And after we pray that, I just want you to just check yourself out and see where it's at.
And we'll try to do what you couldn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
See what happens. Amen. Okay, that's Adam Somerville, my son here visiting with us. We'll have a part two tomorrow talking about what God's doing and healing and miracles and such. Okay, welcome back. I've got a part two here with Adam Somerville, my son Adam. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Yesterday, while we were talking, we got off on what the Holy Spirit's doing and believing God for healings and miracles. And you're pastoring in Vernon now at the Landing Church. You're the senior pastor and all kinds of good stuff. You're over here on the island for the PAOC, Pentecostal Assemblies Convention for BC. Anyway, be cool to pick it up a little bit from where we left off yesterday, because we were talking about, believing God for... Well, really, when it looks impossible, all things are possible. Isn't that what Jesus said? I mean, he said, all things are possible to him who believes.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah,
And what I find interesting, Adam, is that the word believe, we think about it in English as a mental agreement, but it's actually the verb of faith. That it's pistueo, and it's not just mental agreement, it's faith in action.
Yeah.
All things are possible to you who put your faith into action. Why don't you talk about putting faith in action? You know, we believe God created the world, but when we say something like, lay the hands on the sick and they'll recover, you got to put it in action. You got to actually do something with that, or it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it has to become a lifestyle. Like, in terms of, and I one of the things I wanted to say with these scriptures, if you go through the Gospels especially, where Jesus taught out, you know, faith and healing and all these things, there's these sections of scripture that often we want to rip out of the Bible and we want to kind of leave it on the shelf. And one of the ones you just quoted, Matthew 17, Jesus said, if you have... in the story, they're trying to cast this demon out of this boy, and this demon is causing epilepsy, and the disciples can't do it. Jesus comes down the mountain, and he sees that, and he says to his disciples, you faithless and perverse generation, how long should I be with you? How long should I basically put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Casts it out in a word.
I just want to move your mic. It's rubbing on your shirt there. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. He casts it out, and then the disciples come to him, and they say, why couldn't we do it?
Yeah.
And he says, because of your little faith. But I tell you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'll speak to the mountain, it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you.
Right, yes.
And so I think as a church, we got to get back to that where, hey, let's start believing that if, we just have some faith, just a little bit, it's not, just having it there basically is what Jesus is saying.
Yeah.
That I will be able to step into the works of darkness and see people set free.
But faith means you do something with it. Like, I remember, many decades ago starting this walk, and I had some great mentors and teachers in the Holy Spirit. And so they pulled me alongside while they were doing it,
Yeah.
But it was the whole thing about you know, they didn't just pray for someone who wanted prayer that, say, you know, they had bad legs or something like that. Then they began to command that affliction to go, because they said, we have this power and authority in Jesus' name over what Jesus said to the disciples, over the sickness and disease and all demons. And so I don't know how many hundreds of times, I'm sure, over the years, I lay hands on people's legs or whatever is afflicting them and tell that thing to go, or their leg then to be healed. The affliction go, like Jesus spoke to fevers, he spoke to demons.
Yeah.
Go from them, leave them, and then leg be healed, muscles be healed, knee be healed, arthritis go, joint be smoothed out, or whatever. And using authority, and authority always works with verbally, you know, you even look in our culture, how does a policeman or how does the government or how does anybody exercise authority? It's through words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they speak them, they write legislation, but it's always words. And if we're going to use our authority, we got to use words.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a hard part. A lot of us as Christians, we want to think and feel, but we don't want to use words.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, one of the biggest tragedies when it comes to healing in the church that I've noticed is that we've made it so that with healing, we think that we're trying to convince God to do something in a situation. Yeah. And that's just not it. That's not biblically what it is. What it is, and that's why people are addressing a specific issue. They're addressing the sickness. They're addressing the pain. Because what's happening is what we're doing is, again, we're using that authority and that power of the Spirit to speak to look at, to face the sickness or the devil or whatever it is, and to tell it to go in the name of Jesus. We're addressing that thing. And how the healing happens is by the power of the Holy Spirit, faith in action, prayer, but that power that he gives us that's inside of the believer is released into the body or into the hurting person, and it drives out the demon, it drives out the sickness, it changes that issue and it heals that. It's life, the power.
Yeah,
and and that's how Jesus saw it. Jesus didn't see it as he was trying to convince the Father to do something.
There's certainly prayer and asking God to do things is there.
For sure.
But this ministry that he gave us and the disciples.
Specifically ministry to heal the sick and to cast out demons operates in this. It's that it's when the kingdom of God is hitting the kingdom of darkness.
Yes.
And that's where that rubber meets the road. And there's always, you know, we pray and ask God for, you know, maybe for a change of situation or a miracle or things like that. There's always that. But when we're addressing darkness and torment and, you know, whether that's mental health issues, whether that's sickness and disease or demonic spirits, that stuff that is really in the realm of the kingdom of darkness, could be drug addiction, could be whatever. We speak to the thing that's coming from that realm of darkness, and we tell it to go in the name of Jesus. And that dunamis power of the Spirit that Jesus had, which Luke, if you read Luke chapter 4, I believe, it says Jesus came out of the wilderness and he returned in the power of the Spirit
and then started
his ministry. And that's really specific.
Interesting. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. Yeah. He experienced the temptations, and then he comes out with the fullness of the power.
Yeah.
And interesting process. But the thing I find interesting, tell a recent story about this that you've experienced or you know about.
Yeah, totally. Well, we've been taking out people out on the street to pray for the sick in our church, and that's what we've been doing a lot of.
Yeah.
And
so these like peep the homeless and stuff.
No, just anybody and everybody who can get
people
prayer.
You meet. Yeah, it could be in the mall or something.
Yeah, it could be in the mall, could be out on the main drag. And I mean, homeless people too, but it's just anyone who's open to be prayed for.
Okay.
And
do you meet them?
We just walk up to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
so we'll go up to people and we'll say, hey, we're out here praying for people, and we're looking for anyone who's got pain in their body. Anyone who needs a miracle in life or a situation that they're like, man, I really need this to change. Or they're bothered by a sickness or something, and they, man, I really want this healed. Do you have anything in your life that you're like, I need a miracle for, or you'd like to see healed? And often people are really open and they'll go, oh yeah, you know, if somebody has tremendous pain, they'll go, yeah, I've got a, you know, X, Y, and Z. My back really hurts all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff. And it's like, well, hey, you know, here, let's pray for that. Here, let me see your hand and stuff. And usually they're right into it. There's no problem.
Yeah, most people will receive prayer.
And most of these people aren't Christian. This is not we're not praying for a bunch of Christians out on the street. These are non-Christian people that are just, you know, that are just okay with that. And I'll even say stuff like, hey, we're out here loving on Vernon today. Yeah. We're out here caring for people in Vernon today, and we're doing this. And people are generally pretty open to the idea of like, oh, that's so cool that you guys would be out here thinking about other people other than yourselves. And we'll tell people we're seeing, you know, people healed. We're seeing all this stuff. And that's what we're doing. Like we saw one of the ladies that came with us prayed for a guy who had arthritis, an old guy through his whole body. And he said he felt way better after we prayed. One of the times I went out and prayed for a lady who had pain all in her hips and her lower back and stuff. And she got healed and felt much better. Another guy had pain in his legs, and just addressing that in the name of Jesus and telling it to go and for them to be healed. You know, and it's quite awesome what God is doing. Prayed for a guy in my church who had shoulder problems, and he got healed of that. And
so, like, here, take an example. I'm a guy that I tore my rotator cuff or something in my shoulder, and it's in pain. And then, pray for my shoulder. What would you do?
Yeah, I'd say, okay, so I put my hand on the shoulder, and I'd say, in the name of Jesus.
You'd ask him if you could.
Yeah,
I guess,
of course. Yeah, well, if someone's asking me for prayer, I'm assuming it's good, but I'd ask him if I can pray. But then I put my hand on the shoulder, and I say, in the name of Jesus, shoulder be healed. Rotator cuff, you function normal. You be whole in Jesus' name. And after that, I'd say, okay, now check your rotator cuff. Do something you typically would bother it.
So he'll try to lift his arm up.
Yeah, or whatever, lift his arm and see how it feels. And then go from there. And, you know,
if he says, man, it's a little bit better, but still bad up there. What?
Yeah, you go after it again. And you go after it till it gets 100%. Is usually what I do.
So for a lot of people, that's, it didn't take. It really didn't work. It only worked half, you know. But you do it again.
Yeah.
Like Jesus even did it again for that blind man.
Yeah, he did.
And do it again. I've done it like 3, 4, 5 times with people, and then they're completely pain-free.
Yeah.
And now that, to me, the two revolutionary ideas, I guess, in doing this ministry for me was, one is commanding the saying to the thing that was wrong, be healed, be free, be whatever, telling it with in the name of Jesus. And the second thing was, it's okay, you know, relax, you can do it again. You can do it another time. Try it again. Yeah. You can try it again tomorrow if you want.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
we even had that where people at church, you probably had this, week by week they had prayer, and week by week they got better.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's just you get some grit and you don't quit. Like another good example is,
good one. I like that.
Yeah, is you, we were at that conference, the Divine Healing Conference in Penticton, and I was praying for a young guy who, the symptoms he had were the equivalent of having excessive concussions.
Yeah.
And so he'd need these reading glasses. His vision would get blurry and phase in and out, all these things. Prayed for him. And typically every few hours that would happen. Prayed for him. And his after I prayed, he went the rest of the entire day, and we prayed in the morning. Entire day without having a single episode of that stuff going on. And he needed intense reading glasses. And after I prayed for him, he didn't need the reading glasses anymore.
Oh, praise God.
He was able to read without that. And again, it was just, I spoke life, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you know, mind, brain, you begin to function normal.
Yeah.
You function the way God intended you to. All symptoms of blurry vision and concussions, you go in Jesus' name, be healed. And when we watched the results happen.
Wow. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on, Adam. I want you to pray for the folks listening again for any healing that may be necessary out there, but also to encourage your faith out there listening to actually step out. If you've never done this or don't do this as a lifestyle, start to do it. You're a believer in Christ. You've got the Holy Spirit. But what you're going to do is stepping out. And rather than asking God over and over and over, start speaking with the name of Jesus in authority to the problem to go, to this thing to be healed, to the devil to leave it, to whatever you have to do. Go ahead and pray, Adam.
Yeah, Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus that there'd be a radical boldness to come over people. Lord, that they would be consumed with your boldness and your love for people and your confidence that they have authority and power through the name of Jesus by your plan to see captives set free. So I speak to their heart and their mind that they'd be open in Jesus' name. And also to anyone who's experiencing pain, symptoms, problems, mental health issues, whatever it could be, any area of life where there's darkness happening. In the name of Jesus, darkness, pain, sickness, disease, you go, you come off them right now in the name of Jesus. And by his love and authority, I set you free in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing with everybody.
Yeah, no
problem.
It's sure
good to have you home.
Yeah, it's going to be home.
For a few days anyway. And it's so cool. You guys are such a long way from us. But,
yeah.
And the thing Adam commented on was all the rain when he got here.
Yeah, like, I don't miss that part of being here.
Okay, that's Adam, my son Adam Somerville, here with me today at Spirit FM.